40 foot by 36 shop that was no longer able to be used because we had 5 dinosaurs in it.
Welcome to the Exploring Washington State podcast. Here's your host, Scott Cowan.
All right, well, welcome back to this episode of the Exploring Washington State podcast. My guest today is Todd Perkins. Todd has a really interesting Jurassic-themed Airbnb in Washougal. But before we start talking about that, Todd, say hello to the audience and tell us a little bit about you first.
Okay, well, yeah, hello. I am from Washington. Originally, small town of Bridgeport, Washington. Nobody ever knows where Bridgeport is. It's near Lake Chelan. And so that's pretty much, I grew up. Yeah.
Okay. Help me out. I'm trying to think. Okay. So I live in Wenatchee, so I should know where Bridgeport is. I know where Brewster is. Where's Bridgeport in relationship to Brewster?
Yes. So if you continue from Wenatchee and you're going the Arondo side and then you go get to Pateras, Brewster, the next stop is Bridgeport. And it's Chief Joseph Dam is okay. What is there.
Okay. Yeah. So you grew up
in
Bridgeport. So how big was Bridgeport when you were growing up? You didn't know this would be like a math question and all that, but you know. Anyway.
Right. I think when I was growing up, 1,500, maybe 2,000. We had 29 kids in our graduating class. So that's how I usually tell people how small we were.
Well, let me ask you this question, because pre-interview, we were talking about sports. You said, and I'm, you know, you went to Eastern Washington to play football. So did you play football in high school?
Yes.
So you had 29 kids graduating. How many, I mean, think about that percentage-wise, you were all playing football. I mean, how was that division? Is that the 8-player league?
No. So for a while it was 8-player league, 10 years prior to me.
Okay.
And then we were 11 man, but it was, like 1A. We were in 1A. We would play, we would play Pateras and, Winthrop, or not Winthrop, but Mitt-Howe Valley, know, those kind of Liberty Bell, the smaller schools. And yeah, so we were small, but yeah, we, 1 year we did get like 2 or 3 people hurt and we didn't have 11 guys to play when we were playing against Okanagan.
So did you have to forfeit, or were you allowed to play with, say, 10 guys on the field?
Yeah. So we played with 10 and we were already getting nailed because they were a bigger school anyway. Okay. So
wow.
Yeah.
Gee. Okay. All right. So you grew up in Bridgeport. Sorry, there's the rabbit hole thing I warned you about. So you grew up in Bridgeport and then you went to college at Eastern. I'll help you out there. Why Eastern, and what did you study, and what was your experience like there?
Yeah. So growing up, it doesn't really go with, I guess, when I was growing up, we had orchards. So I grew up on the farm picking and pruning and thinning and all of those things. And my dad had done that since he was 13. My grandpa had done that. My great grandpa had done that in Arondo, actually near Wenatchee.
Okay.
But that just didn't seem like what I wanted to do. I didn't want to work in the orchards. I liked working in the orchards, but I felt like I wanted to do something else. And with the sports, I was able to, you know, pick and choose a couple different schools. I wanted to be close by the family still, because I'm kind of a mama's boy. And so I wanted to be close. So Eastern was close, within a couple hours. So that's mainly the reason why I chose that. But I was going to go into physical therapy, personal training. That was what I wanted to do until I hurt myself in playing at Eastern. So when I was playing football, I hurt my left ankle, and then I was not as fast as I was after I recovered. I wasn't quite as quick, and at my position, you had to be fast. I returned punts and kicks, and I was a free safety and a cornerback. So it was a speed thing. I didn't have that anymore. I did, but you lose a split second, and now you're slow in those positions. And so instead of continuing on the personal training and physical therapy path, I was just like, man, maybe the only reason why I wanted to do that was because that's all I ever did from AAU when I was a little kid all the way to college. And so I looked more, you know what, I really like the business aspect of things. Obviously, my great-grandpa had started the orchard, and it was just a family-run business. So I was always around that. I never really worked for anybody other than my family, you know, and so I went more into business.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of what led me there, I guess.
So when you graduated from college, did you become self-employed, or did you go to work right for somebody right away?
Well, actually, so I didn't graduate
either.
So yeah. So after I got hurt, I went another year. And it just wasn't, I don't know, for some reason, it just wasn't fitting. I just wasn't finding my way. And so I did kind of try a few different self-employed things. It didn't quite work out. And then I fell into, I worked for Ford for 3 or 4 years. And, you know, as a salesperson.
Okay.
And it was out towards Cheney. So it was my clientele, farmers and everything. It worked really well. And then I met my wife. This is actually kind of a good story, because her uncle, her aunt, my wife's aunt, is the matchmaker of the family, I guess.
Okay. All right.
She was on vacation, and her husband, he came to the Ford dealership and needed a new truck. So I showed him some trucks. He decided on a truck. He had a trade-in, but he didn't have anybody to drive it back, you know, to do the swap. So he said, hey, would you ride with me all the way back to North Spokane, and we'll drop it off and I'll give you a ride back. So we talked and we talked. And on the way back, he said, I have a niece, and part of the deal, we still have, part of the deal is that you take her out. and so I that wasn't what I was thinking about. And so I'm in the truck, you know, and he dials his cell phone, he calls her, and he says, hey, I'm with this guy, and I'm a captive audience in this truck driving on the way back. And so he gives me the phone, and he, in the background, he's like, she's coming up for a teacher's conference in a couple of weeks, because she taught at Connell High School down by the Tri-Cities where we live now.
Okay.
And so he said, she's coming up for a teacher's conference. So I just said, well, here's my phone number. If you call me when you're up here, great. If not, no big deal. Right.
Right.
I don't think the expectations were there to find your wife.
Well, could you
in a truck with a guy you never met?
So, I mean, you could have said, well, I could give you floor mats, or I have to talk to my finance manager, maybe. I mean, I, oh my gosh. All right. Okay.
Right. So. I should have talked to the desk or to the manager about it. Right. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So then if you knew my wife, she never calls anybody.
Okay.
And it was just so, it was random that she did call. We met up with a group of her other teacher friends, and then that was kind of it.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me interrupt you and ask you this question. So you met her in a group setting.
Yes.
When did you know? You know what I mean?
Man, it wasn't maybe like the third date, you know? Like I really felt pretty, I was definitely the first one to say the three words.
Okay. All right.
If that makes sense.
Right. It does.
Yeah. Yeah. But so anyway, so at our reception, he brought down the truck that he bought and we had to take pictures with the truck. And so, yeah, so it was a really cool story.
That's a great story. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I don't even know where we were at.
Well, no, we were just kind of what you were doing after college. See, that's why I.
Yeah.
Okay. So you were working for a Ford dealership. You get.
Yes.
Well, you were riding shotgun. So we could say it was a shotgun date. I mean, we could just, okay. But then you were introduced to the woman who became your wife, and you referenced that she was teaching down near Tri-Cities. When did you move to Tri-Cities?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that's the next step. So I had, while I was at Ford, I had started thinking more of like real estate. So I had bought a house. Mm-hmm. And I was renting out the upstairs, and then I think I sold that one, and it was a lucky time of where the prices rose, and I sold it after a couple years, and I had this profit, and I don't even know what I was, 22, 23.
Okay.
So I rolled it into another house, and that's kind of what started the whole, I guess, real estate portion was that.
Okay.
And I rented that house out. And then my wife was like, well, not wife at the time, she said, all my family is in the Tri-Cities. And so that's where I'm going to live. And so if you're going to live with me, you're going to live down here. And so I still kept one of the houses up there and rented it out and moved down to Tri-Cities. And I found a job at Hertz, actually. Hertz has it's rental cars, but it has a car sales division. Mm-hmm. And so I was one of the finance managers at Hertz for a little while until I met my business partner, who was the other finance manager. And that's when we did our first actual business, started it with my partner then. And that was a car dealership in Hermiston, Oregon, which is about 30 minutes from the Tri-Cities,
right?
Just across the border.
Just across the Columbia. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So you started, you know, dabbling in real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And you ultimately, you know, got married, all of that. And now we're going to flash forward to this Jurassic themed Airbnb. How on earth did you come up with this? And more importantly, my first question to you is, when you told your wife about the idea, what was her response?
Well, I guess, unfortunately, that wasn't my first off-the-wall idea.
Okay, all right. Well, what else you got? What else you got?
Well, so first, you know, hey, we have a baby on the way, and I'm working at Hertz with I was working with Hertz. Had a pretty solid job, insurance, all those things. She was a school teacher, but was going to be losing those benefits. And so I came to her and said, hey, me and my business, we're going to start a car dealership. And it's the first thing we've done, and we got a baby on the way, but we're going to take the chance. So that was the first crazy idea, but it turned out to work. So it did work out. And for a little while, you know, definitely she was concerned. And so it goes to with a string of other ideas, whether we started a car, we have car washes too.
Okay.
So we did do that. And, but while I had the car dealership, I would, as a hobby, instead of making model cars, like some people make model cars, well, I wanted to make the exact replica actual car of like movie cars. So like Kit from Knight Rider, mm-hmm. like that was when I was growing up, that was my favorite show ever.
Sure.
And so I found a Firebird, and I found the guy that had the original dash molds from the show. Mm-hmm. I had him make me the mold. I found all the electronics in Germany and Italy and all these places. And I made Kit. It talked with a phone app, and me and my son, we would take it to car shows and have all sorts of fun having Kit talk to people at the car show.
Okay.
So that was also a little bit of a crazy idea. Prior to that, I did build one of the original Jurassic Park Jeeps replica also.
Okay.
I mean, down So detail is what I like. I like the detail and the little Easter eggs of things. Right. And so like with that Jurassic Park Jeep, I mean, even the tires had to be the same tires that were in the movie. And so I don't know. Yeah. So I did do some smaller, crazy idea things. And so I don't think she thought it was as crazy just because
you already prepped for decisions. I'm actually looking. Is this the blue Jeep that I'm looking at on?
Oh no.
Okay.
No. So that Jeep. So when we did the Jurassic Retreat, we had to kind of walk the line of not being 100% Jurassic Park, Jurassic World, right. Universal.
Right.
Because we're not affiliated with Universal or Amblin Entertainment or mm-hmm. anything. Right. So. I was looking at it as, okay, if I was going to make my own little park and I couldn't use the 1992 Jeep Saharas, what would I do? And I found it's either a 41 or a 42 Willys.
Okay.
And this was during COVID. We went all the way to Wyoming. We drove all the way to Wyoming to pick that up. And we went through Yellowstone. It was a good trip. So the whole family went, but the end result was we picked up the Jeep and we came back. And then me and my son worked on kind of restoring it because it was yellow mm-hmm. with orange wheels. And we turned it into more of a theme where it matched the place.
Right.
And so, yeah, so that's the house Jeep. The house. It's not, it runs, but it's not for guests to drive around in.
Okay. All right. So, well, you're a brave man. You know, pitching the idea of giving up your stable corporate job with benefits to go self-employed. I tip my cap and I applaud you for your bravery. And because I truly think that, well, you could have fallen on your face, but you wouldn't, nothing against your corporate employer. But if you were still there, you'd still be there and it wouldn't be a whole lot mm-hmm. different than it was then. So I always applaud people when they take the big leap. But doing it when your wife's pregnant, that's another level of, that's another level. Okay. Now, when we talked before, you had kind of mentioned, I'm probably butchering this, so you're going to have to clean up after me, but you kind of mentioned that initially you had thought about doing this somewhere else in the state, correct?
Correct.
You weren't going to do it in where it is located now. What was your, so when you're starting to like, you've got the napkin out and you're scribbling your ideas down and it's just kind of your mind's eye and you're like, I want to do this. And you haven't like bought the property yet and things like that. Where were you looking? What sort of things were you looking for that you thought would be desirable in this case?
Yeah. So I really needed trees. I needed forest. I needed some sort of water nearby. I just wanted to kind of bring those movies to life. Mm-hmm. And so you had to have those things close by. And so I, growing up in Bridgeport and my grandpa living near Wenatchee, we'd go to Leavenworth, you know, once or twice a year mm-hmm. into that area. And knowing that it was popular and we had Lake Chelan and you can, people from the west side come over. So I was trying to actually figure out a good place where the business would actually work, mm-hmm. but also it was where I had grown up. And so I had some ties to that area. My grandpa lives in Kashmir now, which is just
20 minutes away, if you will.
Yeah, 20 minutes away. Yeah. And so I thought, you know, hey, it'd be a little bit of a family affair, you know, on stuff. And so, yeah, so we went through with it, but it just didn't quite work out in that location.
Okay. So then why? So I know, when I ask a question like this, I know kind of the answer, but why Washougal? I know it's got the trees, it's got the water and all that, but what was how did you end up in Washougal?
Yeah. So after I knew that it wasn't going to work out because of some short-term rental, rules or laws that were coming out in Chelan County, I decided, well, we need to sell the place and find another location. But being that I had to sell it as a whole, I needed to be able to roll that money into an already built house.
Okay.
I couldn't just buy land and then rebuild again because of the tax consequences it would have. And so I think we were going down, coming back from the Oregon coast, and we're going up the gorge. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you drive up the gorge, whether it's on the Washington side or the Oregon side, it just feels like you're prehistoric somewhat, the rock formations, mm-hmm. and just the vegetation and all of that. And so I just remember being like, you know, I'm gonna expand my search this way. And because my businesses are in Hermiston, Oregon, I'm only 2.5 hours away from where I am a lot. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it wasn't as big of a stretch to do that versus like Seattle would be a big stretch for me.
Right,
but
right.
Because it's just so far distance wise. And so I really just started scouring and scouring, and this particular house came up. It was done-ish, probably to the 95%.
Okay.
And then the rest of it, like the fencing and the rebar and all the things that make it the Jurassic Retreat and not just a house, mm-hmm. My cousin helped me with, and the kind of the whole family, you know, just my wife really wanted to get the dinosaurs out of our shop at our house. So she was ready for anything, because we have a like a 40 foot by 36 shop that was no longer able to be used because we had 5 dinosaurs in it waiting for a home.
We're going to come back to the dinosaurs. We're going to come back to the dinosaurs. I guess I've got questions there. I'm looking at the photos here, and this is a beautiful house, man. I mean, I like the house. So without, help me out, about how many square feet is this place?
It's almost 2,200. I think it's 2,166.
Okay, yeah. No, this is...
And 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms.
Nice. Yeah, no, it's... I like what you've done with it. It looks like a... I'm laughing at the dinosaur on the wall, if you will, in the entryway. So it was...
Yeah, so that was the plan. That was the plan to have like the... It was like a hunting lodge, but with...
Right.
Dinosaurs, right?
Dinosaurs, like, yeah.
Like there's the T-Rex instead of an elk. Or
right.
A
no, I like that. So when you say this place was 95% done, so I'm looking at these photographs. Are you saying that this place was pretty much finished like it is right now? Wow.
Yeah. And what was really amazing is we had finished the other house very similar. So it was just, it was, even when I was talking to the guy, to the owner, I had walked up into the bathroom and I said, man, we just used that same tile at the house.
Oh, that's funny.
That we just built for this. So, I mean, there were a lot of similarities I guess, taste that right. both of us had. All the decorating and stuff at the house is all my wife. Like, okay. I would have went total over-the-top dinosaur, right?
Right.
It would have been more kidsy and probably not exciting for adults to stay at, but my wife was, she's just so good at
really
decorating and not doing too much and not doing too little, but kind of just right. And so, yeah. And she came up with the idea to theme the rooms. So the rooms are themed based on characters of the original movie.
Okay.
So we have a Ian Malcolm, which is like the Jeff Goldblum character room, mm-hmm. which you have like the animal prints and golds and blacks in the bedroom. And then one room is more oriented to the paleontology and the paleobotany, which would be the Dr. Grant and the Laura Dern character as well. And then down in the main level, we have a Dr. Hammond study down there. And that's where you can play games and just kind of sit, and you can see all the dinosaurs from that study, which is, so that was her idea, was to theme the rooms. And it was just like, oh, perfect. Because I had no clue how to make, I don't know, make it feel luxurious.
Right.
And, but not too kiddie. You know, when you hear a dinosaur house, it's like, oh, you see, you know, stuffed dinosaurs and you see all the stuff, but we tried to make it as real as we could.
My kids are the age that when I think of dinosaurs, I think of Barney, and that's not necessarily a pleasant, memory connection there for me. So,
right.
I'm looking around here at the house, and I've got a couple of questions. Most important question is I get to the photograph. Our audience wants to know, what's behind the door in the kitchen that says, danger, do not enter?
Well, that's actually, I hope people don't go in there because that's just the water heater and some of the cleaning supplies. So that's why we put that there versus putting a big lock on there. Just and it totally fits in.
It totally fits in. So yeah, no, it totally fits in. That was one that I saw that photo and I was like, okay, I've got to ask about that. Like, how danger? Yeah. Do not enter. I like that idea. All right. You alluded, well, you flat out said you had 5 dinosaurs in the shop space and your wife wanted that shop space cleaned out. So you bought these on Amazon. Was it Prime Delivery?
Oh, yeah.
Prime Delivery? I mean, where does one find? Two day. Where does one find dinosaurs like this?
Well, yeah. So these ones particularly, they were made in China, okay, but they weren't made already and then shipped. We went through basically birthing them for about a year and a half of me saying, okay, this is the colors I want. This is the posture I want them to stand at. This is what I want them to do. Their eyes blink. They breathe.
They do?
You know? Oh, yeah. They're animatronic. All of these dinosaurs are animatronic. Yes.
Okay. I don't know my dinosaurs very well. Is that a T-Rex that's standing out in front of the house?
Yes. Okay. So yeah, the big one, that's the T-Rex by the kind of with the tail by the Jeep.
Yeah. So
Yep.
Help me out. What does he do?
So yeah, so there's a button on the fence, a big one of those buttons that you would think of like in a movie. Like you're in a submarine and you have to pull up the little door and then hit the big green button.
Right.
When you hit the green button, then so he roars, his eyes blink, his arms move, his tail wags, and his stomach moves in and out, you know, like breathing. It can't walk, it can't do anything, it's stationary that way, but everything else is functional. His neck rotates slightly, so.
So approximately how tall is that?
Yeah, so I think he's 20 feet roughly tall and then 43 feet long.
And Amazon Prime delivered that. No, just kidding. So you had this custom made then? You were working with a manufacturer in China and this was custom made to your specifications?
Correct. Yeah. So they have some like pictures of ones that they've made in the past. Mm-hmm. And so then I can say, okay, I want something similar to that. But I need it this size versus whatever they made it, if it was smaller or whatever. In China, they're more into, you know, like the Godzillas and it's more monster characters. So the coloring is it's ostentatious, you know, it's vibrant. It's yellows and pinks. And so it was hard to get me to nail them down to, okay, I want natural.
Right. Like,
Natural History Museum. I had to send him a lot of pictures of to get the colors right and not to have just weird little offshoot things that, you know, like not wings, but, you know, little things that aren't on dinosaurs that we know of from the movies. So I was trying to, you know, make it similar to the movie. Obviously, you can't make it exact, but just go more natural on that.
So does this dinosaur have a name, by the way?
Well, Ty. My son, he comes back and forth with different names.
Well,
so
we'll call him Ty. We'll call him Ty for the rest of this episode. Ty. Ty's 40 some feet long, 20 feet high. How was he shipped? Was he shipped fully completed, or did you have to assemble him?
Yes, so we had to assemble the two large dinosaurs, including Ty. Mm-hmm. It was his head. So his head came in one piece. Legs came separate. body was in one piece, tail was separate. That's how he was shipped. So yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pieces.
And did they send like the universal assembly tool that you needed to put it together? I mean, what did you have to do to put this, to assemble this thing?
Yeah, they did send 2 crescent wrenches. Like literally, that's what came. 2 large crescent wrenches is what came with it. But no, yeah, it was kind of, they sent me a couple videos of not necessarily like installation, but just a few things. Cause it's not just we put it together and then it works. Me and my wife had to sew every single seam of the, like you put the leg, you wrap the legs around the big pole, the metal poles that are the legs.
Right.
But then you have to put the skin around it, which is consists of foam and like silicone is what those, the scales and everything. So it's, you push it and it does feel,
it has a little, it has a little give to it. Okay.
Yeah. But so we had to wrap those around and then literally sew a, what, 12 foot seams with these large, like fish hook type. and then you have to put, make your own silicone rubber out of some different materials that they send you, and then you slap it on there, and then you put pantyhose over it, so then it still creates that the scale look without seeing the seam. And then I had to have an airbrush guy come in and airbrush the seams so they weren't as noticeable.
Wow. All right. And you assembled Ty in your shop in Tri-Cities.
No. So we assembled everything down on site.
Okay, you did. Okay. That's not nearly as fun, because I was hoping you were going to say yes, and then we had to put him on a flatbed trailer and scare half of civilization as we drove him through. But I don't get to have that fun. All right.
Well, but though, so Ty wasn't assembled. The other, the long neck one and the Apatosaurus wasn't assembled, but the other 3 were fully assembled driving down the road.
Oh my gosh.
So the Triceratops, 100% assembled, his tail wagging in the wind, and the two raptors, they were, you know, it was like the movie in Jurassic World where he's riding the motorcycle and the raptors are running right next to him.
Oh my gosh.
It felt that way. I was driving down the road with 2 raptors back in my trailer. My son is sitting there. He's counting how many people are videoing them as he's driving down the road, and so it was pretty fun. He's 11, so he was like,
"Oh, you're father of the year forever because of this, man." I mean, think of the stories he's gonna tell. That time my dad and I took the dinosaurs down the road. I mean, he's golden for stories the rest of his life. Yeah. So, wow, approximately how long did it take you to assemble Ty?
Let's see, to fully assemble, it took at least a couple weeks. Wow. To just get him put together. We had to rent heavy machinery, like the big telehandler forklifts.
Right.
And so I only had those for a set amount of time. And I think I had them rented for only 2 or 3 days. And it was me and my cousin, and we just tried and tried. The first night we thought we were like, we're going to have to hire somebody. We don't know what we couldn't get it to work because they didn't send any instructions on which way the legs went on the T-Rex on Ty. And so we had them backwards. We had them sideways. We didn't know. And then finally, luckily it like, so when you're dealing with the Chinese, manufacture everything, you know, I have to talk to them at midnight,
right,
to get answers. And so luckily somebody answered and said, oh yeah, look at the little notches. I mean, we're talking probably a 12 foot or 12 inch piece of metal, and they said, oh, look for the little half a centimeter notch that's under grease. That, and then that'll tell you, you line that notch up with that other notch on the, you know, and I'm like, how in the world would I ever have known that? But, so once we figured that out, then we were pretty golden. It just took, you know, just a lot of,
why didn't you look on YouTube and just see how they were put together? I mean, just like everybody else. I mean, can't you just go on YouTube and how to assemble a dinosaur? I mean, come on. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was the hard part, because that's how, building stuff usually, it's just YouTube.
But just this YouTube it,
Uncharted.
Uncharted. Yeah. You should have filmed a video of it. You could have been the YouTube dinosaur king.
right.
Oh my gosh. Well, from a manufacturing standpoint, from the time you made contact with the company that ended up doing the work to delivery, how long did that take?
It was pretty much a year.
Okay. That's actually not that bad.
If you saw how they're made and what's underneath them, it's really not that complicated inside. It's steel, little steel poles, and they form it. But then everything else is foam. They just put foam on it, and then they shave the foam. And then the only thing that is the time-consuming thing is with foam, with little heat, they're not heat guns, they're heat pins.
Okay.
And every single scale and detail was done by a human with a heat pin. So when you see those scales, every single one was done by, I think I saw pictures they sent me one time, and there was like five people with heat pins just drawing the scales on there. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing.
All right. So, okay. Timeline. Had you purchased the property before the dinosaurs? Leavenworth property.
Mm-hmm.
Was the dinosaurs in timeline with the Leavenworth property? And did you already have them when you bought the Washougal property?
So I believe we bought the property itself for Leavenworth first.
Okay.
And then, because I saw it there, I was like, okay. And then I used where I thought they were going to go to make the dinosaurs, because I thought they were going to be in certain locations up there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, property first, then dinosaurs. So dinosaurs didn't get to go to Leavenworth. In turn, they had to get shipped in shipping containers to my house.
Okay.
Instead of Leavenworth, which would have made it much easier to transport, because they would have been dropped off at the front driveway and not 3.5 hours down the gorge. So yeah,
but you don't have as many, you got more stories this way. Come on. You've got more stories. Your son has stories. I mean, think about, go back to when you were 11 and imagine yourself in this, 11-year-old in a truck watching your dad drive dinosaurs down the highway is right. Not something we all experience in our lifetime. Okay. Yeah.
So, but that is what kind of started it, was when I was a kid there, we went to, I think I don't remember. I have the picture. I don't know if I was 5 or 8 years old, but we went to a, back in the 80s, where animatronics weren't quite as exciting as they are now. But I still remember going to that and seeing that Triceratops moving and trying to put my nose by his nose. And that's what stayed in my mind for this build, really.
Okay. And you've got the one by the hot tub. I think that's pretty funny.
We built a little raptor enclosure.
Yeah, I think that's pretty funny. I mean, I don't know that I would relax in that hot tub with that thing there, because that fence just doesn't look like it's going to do the job. And I'm bouncing around here a lot, I know, but what is this outbuilding that the Jeep is next to? What is that?
The outbuilding was already there. Yeah, mm-hmm. So it was already there. That's what houses the pressure tank for the well.
That's what I thought. Okay.
And that kind of stuff. So it's nothing exciting, but so we decided to make it part of the place.
Seemed dangerous.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then the hot tub is directly behind that, so that the lean-to is off the back of the shed there. Yeah.
So is this a Brontosaurus?
Patasaurus is the actual name of that particular one. Apatosaurus is a little smaller. Brontosaurus wouldn't have been doable.
So how big is this one then, approximately?
Well, that one's still 56 feet long and kind of in that same range of that 18
to 20
tall. Its neck moves up and down a little bit, and its tail wags. It's hard. That tail is huge, and so we had to cut some trees and some shrubs to make it so, because we were constantly, it was, that one was the hardest install was that particular one, because you have four legs now. You have a tail that is, I think the tail was like 20 feet, just the tail. And then,
oh my gosh,
I think it was 12 feet is roughly the neck. And so that one was really tough because we were surrounded by all the vegetation and had really only about that 10 feet of road to maneuver this 10-foot tractor to actually get in the angles that we needed. And yeah, that was the hardest one. Me and my cousin almost weren't family after that one.
Oh, okay. Well, we won't explore that too much. But you survived. Well, I like that.
We had to sleep on it.
Yeah. I like though you that greets you as you drive down the driveway, if you will. That's kind of cool. How big of a parcel is this on?
It's just I can't remember exactly, but it's about an acre. But okay. It doesn't seem like an acre because the whole hillside is the property, but it's all the trees and it's all surrounds mm-hmm. you. You can't, when you drive up, it is in a neighborhood, but not like a neighborhood where you'd think like in town, you know, there's one, two, three, four houses basically kind of up the driveway. But when you're there on property, like it's kind of hard to see, you know.
But you feel kind of isolated.
You can try and see. Oh okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and right now is the time of year down there where the blackberry bushes are growing and all the vegetation is like at its height before, you know, in the fall. The fall is beautiful for, you know, a few weeks because of just the colors.
Mm-hmm.
But right now it's like it feels like Jurassic Park because everything's like at its height of growing season.
Earlier on, you mentioned that you're not affiliated with, you know, all those disclosure things. Has mm-hmm. has anyone approached you about this? Do they? I mean, has anyone had any heartburn, or is it being appreciated?
Yeah. Nobody from Universal has came to us.
Okay.
Evolve is the booking company we use. Mm-hmm. To book the place, and they supposedly have been in contact with Universal about doing some potential marketing, but mm-hmm. I haven't heard anything for the new movie, because the new movie just came out a couple weeks ago, and so the possibility would be like when the DVD comes out to do some sort of marketing thing when the DVD comes, like a watch party with dinosaurs and, you know, mm-hmm. at the house. So that would be neat. I'm not holding my breath on anything like that, but that would just like legitimize 3 years of work if that happened.
This is probably the most important question I'm going to ask you. And I'm now on KGW8's, and I don't want to play the video because my speakers will kick in, but I'm looking at this video and all of a sudden it just popped in my head. How do you care for these things? What do you have to do? Do you just hose them off, or does somebody have to get up there and with a toothbrush and clean out the crevices? I mean, what happens here?
Yeah. So fortunately in the Washougal area, it does rain a little bit. And so yes. I found that they kind of clean themselves.
Okay.
They're really on the inside. They're all lubricated from the factory. So I haven't had to get in there and do any lubrication of the parts, which is going to be difficult when I do have to. But then all they are is they're literally plugged into normal wall outlets. Like,
okay.
They're not specially wired, because all they are ran off of is each one of them has their own little desktop computer that's in a fake rock that is behind the fence or hidden in the bushes or whatever. And so the only problem I've had is with the timers, because I specifically set them to like wake up at 9 in the morning and then go to sleep around 8:30, just so it's not you know, if neighbors are around, they're not having to hear it, you know, in the nighttime.
That's,
so I've had problems with my timers. I haven't had problems with anything other than the timers you buy from like Home Depot.
Oh my gosh, that's hysterical. Hey, Todd, your dinosaurs are roaring again. Can you turn them off, please? That would be a very odd phone call to have. Oh, my gosh.
For sure.
So how long has this been open to the public for rental?
Our first one was the end of November of last year. So okay. It's only been just a little bit.
And how's it been received?
8 months. Very well, actually. those news deals really, like, I mean, we went from, you know, just a couple bookings here and there to being booked until August. it was pretty much steady for 6 months. Now most of the weekends are booked like in August, but then the weekdays aren't really. So there's a lot of weekday currently, but yeah, for 6 months it was pretty mm-hmm. much go, go, go.
Well, so that leads to, a housekeeping question. I mean, with short-term rentals, you know, whenever you're turning these things, you've got to go in and refresh the house. Are you guys doing that, or do you have somebody closer to Washougal, or how's that working out?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we have it's funny also. So the realtor that sold the house to us, she also had a cleaning business. And so I had another cleaning company come, but they were closer to Portland. And so they were like, it's really okay. far for us to come, especially when if you're going to be booked pretty solid. It's called Busy Bee. They are on it. And her husband, he helps. He does the hot tub. He does little maintenance stuff. And they're awesome. There's three girls, and then one of them husband, and he helps. And I mean, every once in a while I have to go down just to deal with the dinosaur stuff, like if I have a wire or something odd. But yeah, man, they are awesome.
That's great. Yeah, that's I had another guest on, and that episode will go live before this one, and she runs short-term rentals, and she also helps other short-term rental operators operate their properties. Mm-hmm. And we got into this discussion about, you know, the logistics of these things. It's not, you know, it's a lot of work. What are you going to make any changes to it? Do you have anything, you know, like, oh, let's add another one over here, or is this, would you call this piece is finished?
Yeah, I think it is myself. As far as the land goes, it just worked perfect that what I had fit. And I think less is more, kind of, just like I was talking about with my wife on decorating mm-hmm. and right. man, like if I added another something, it would just feel too. Because like the one raptor, it's in its cage. The other one greets you. The T-Rex is just that awe, like, oh, my goodness, with the rebarred fence and the 10,000-volt signs. And then the other raptor is up in the blackberries, kind of looking down at the Triceratops, like, maybe I might jump on you. or when you drive up, it's also looking at you, like when you're getting your luggage out. It's kind of like, oh, okay, I see him, I see you. And so... yeah, I just don't know anywhere else I'd put anything.
Okay.
That would make it better. That wouldn't detract.
When guests are staying at the house, what else in the area has been a draw? I mean, what else do people like to do when they're out in Washougal?
Yeah, so for the most part, most people that do go there that I've seen, they really want to watch all the movies there. Because I have all the DVDs there, and then I also have pretty much any other Spielberg movie is there, like Jaws and Indiana Jones. That was my inspiration, was those movies, and so mm-hmm. those are there to watch. But to venture out, it's really outdoor activities like hiking. There's a really cool, it's called Dugan Falls, and it's about 5 miles down the road. The house is off Washougal River Road, which you would assume that there's a Washougal River right pretty close. So you're driving along Washougal River Road, and then you turn up to the house. So there's the river, but that river up about 5 miles is this falls, and you can swim in it. So it's falls, but you can dive off the rocks, and there's these little lagoons, and it's very cool. So that's a big draw. Beacon Rock is fairly close. It's about 15 minutes away, which if you Google Beacon Rock, you'll see how amazing it is. And when you think of the gorge and you think of Jurassic Park and you think of that and you see it does kind of feel like that scene in the first movie where they look out and they see all the dinosaurs for the first time. And it's just like, oh my goodness, this is a different world. Let's see, what else is a good, and I mean, some people like to go to Bonneville Dam is on that side and kind of go to the dam and Cascade Locks and things like that. Vancouver is very close. It's only 35 minutes roughly.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
The biggest draw from people that I hear from like our neck of the woods is they want to go to IKEA, which is in Portland, which is 37 minutes away, I think. So I think it becomes about shopping for people that are coming, but people that are from Portland and the area, they want to be around the house and then, you know, maybe go on some trails and things like that. There are, if you look up like that All Trails app and you go on that, there's trails all around. Cape Horn is a really cool one. That one's a neat one because then you get the same view as from Beacon Rock, but you don't have to go all the way up Beacon Rock on that Cape Horn trail.
Where is in the most, I don't want to say this. So who's traveled the farthest to stay here so far? You said Portland. You said why? You know, but has anybody come from say Florida?
Not that I know of. I know the first was I believe from California. So okay. We've had California is probably the one that I noticed the most, other than Seattle, Portland. Sure. There's been was it Montana? Maybe a Montana. Oh yeah, there was definitely a Montana. Okay. At least so kind of still all west. I haven't advertised, like we haven't done anything as far as advertising at all. So the only things that are out there is those Portland news station deals. Yeah, so we really haven't done anything to for anybody to know that it exists, I guess.
All right. Do you have any intentions of doing another property?
I did. I have another idea too that's not Jurassic Park oriented, but I don't know. I have, yeah, there's quite a few other ideas that I have, but I just haven't quite found the right place. And also I don't think the timing is right as well with the real estate market. It just seems a little inflated to me. So I'm just kind of sitting back right now and waiting really. But I have some ideas that might involve Transformers. I have ideas that involve different things from my childhood that I'd like to bring to life.
What about Knight Rider? You could have the talking car out there, you know?
Well, unless I could get Hasselhoff as a to be there, I probably wouldn't. I did Knight Rider. So I don't know. I would love it, but
okay.
But I think it needs to be more all-encompassing. You know, like you look at like the top 10 big movies and there's The Lord of the Rings and there's Jurassic Park franchise is pretty high up there. So I kind of look at those. Transformers is way up there too, because they had so many of them. So
you could do a Titanic themed one, and, you know, having.
Oh man. I did think of that one, but I just couldn't see it. I've always wanted to do an actual pirate ship would be so cool. Like down, you know, on the coast somewhere. I just think it'd be so neat to be able to do something like that.
That would be interesting.
But again, it gets so hard with all of the short-term rental rules and regulations. And so even when you go down and you look at the coast, there's not many places at the coast that you can even do short-term rentals anymore that aren't regulated. Mm-hmm. So it does get hard.
It does. Yeah, it does get a little challenging. When you're not fiddling with your dinosaurs because the timers aren't cooperating, and I mean, if you're using a computer, just reboot it. It'll work, right? I mean, sorry, bad old tech joke, but
yeah.
What do you and the family like to do for fun and entertainment?
Well, for a while before COVID, we did travel a lot. My wife has a big following on Instagram, And so she got into the thing where you can, where you message a hotel or a resort or wherever and say, hey, if, you know, if we do some social media, can we get a discount or can we get a free stay? And so we were doing that close by. And then COVID hit and then we kind of stayed home for the last year and a half or so. We have like 5 acres. We have a little cherry orchard and we're kind of out of town a little bit. So I don't know. We do the normal stuff, you know, my kids are homeschooled now. My wife used to be a high school English teacher, but now she homeschools the kids. And so we are together a lot and we just kind of we don't do anything like exciting, fancy, you know, we just kind of do things together that we can when we have time. I still go out to Hermiston 3 to 4 times a week. Just depends on the week and manage the car washes and stuff. So we have quite a few employees for that.
Okay. All right. So if it was up to the kids, what themed Airbnb would they want?
Well, so my daughter she's a little older, but her favorite is Tangled. Do you remember that movie? Rapunzel Disney movie.
I don't remember that.
It's one of Disney's, like, it's super good, actually.
Okay.
Do you remember that show Chuck? It was on NBC. He was a tech nerd.
Yes,
and
yes,
he was
yes.
a spy. So actually, Chuck is the voice of the love interest in that movie.
Okay.
And anyway, it's just really good. So I would say probably that or like a boy band. Now that she's older, she would love some sort of boy band theme. One Direction, like a British boy band would be great.
Oh, that'd be funny.
My son, he's a YouTuber guy. He watches all Minecraft would be probably his. If we could do a Minecraft theme, that would be pretty cool. And then he likes all those YouTubers like Mr. Beast. And those guys. Dude Perfect, that's one of our favorites because we're into sports. And so Dude Perfect, we watch all those and we try our own little sports trick shots and things.
Okay.
So I thought that would be cool. I was actually thinking about something like that in Spokane because we're an hour and a half, 2 hours from Spokane. And I was thinking about recreating their headquarters like in a warehouse and then you could go and do birthday parties there. I thought that would be super cool, but then have them somewhat involved anyway, that was one idea that it just didn't quite, I couldn't quite get it there once all the real estate stuff went nuts.
Yeah,
I'm kind of, it's really hard right now because yes, there's a lot of ideas and a lot of things that but with a lot of regulations and a lot of the costs, it's like, man, okay.
It's tough to pencil things together. I totally get that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my last question I always ask is, what didn't I ask you that I should have? What didn't we talk about that we should have?
Man, I don't know. I think we covered most things. I don't know. I think some of it is maybe like the why. I think we talked about a little bit of how, but the why, it did all start from that like 5 or 6 years old when I saw those animatronic dinosaurs. And I do remember the other portion. We went to Silverwood, the theme park, and my wife, and I'm always like, oh man, that'd be just always thinking of attractions or different things that people could do. And she's like, oh man, you would love to have a theme park. And I was like, yeah, unfortunately that's just not in the cards. But that, I think her saying that time really stuck in my head of, well, what can I do something? What's the next level from making Kit from Knight Rider car and making, you know, the Jurassic Park Jeep. And I think that this is like the next step that I could muster, you know, and just have people experience that when you drive through, because it's probably not in your pictures, but we did erect a big gate that says Jurassic Retreat in big letters. I don't think I sent you that picture. It's right before the big Apatosaurus. So you do drive through this large gate. Okay. And when you do that, you drive through and then it kicks on for the first time, that first time you drive in, that's what I want, like, people to feel, have that feeling. Like, it's a dinosaur. Like, wow. And then you drive past that Apatosaurus, and then out of the trees, that giant T-Rex is on your left. It is really neat, that first 5 minutes you're there. Like, it is different. And so I guess that's the only thing that I would talk about is that we didn't talk about was, like, it is a pretty cool experience, that first little bit. And then you just, then after that, it's all about experiences with your family, you know, right after that. So,
well, where can people find out more about this? Where would you like to direct them to take a look at this?
So it's evolve.com is the booking site. And then you would just go on there and type in Washougal and look it up. So you can go on Airbnb and VRBO. It's on all of those. But the Evolve site, it's slightly less price because there's less hands on it. You know, Airbnb mm-hmm. gets their cut. And right. so I think the Evolve Direct is less money.
Okay. So that's, we'll put a link to that. We'll put a link to that in the show notes so that people can just click on the link. Cool. I've never heard of Evolve before, so that's something new for me to look at too. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for taking the time. This is really cool. It's a really neat looking, the house itself is, I mean, it'd be one thing if it was just dinosaurs and then a house, right? But the house is mm-hmm. really tastefully done. It looks like it'd be a very comfortable place to hang out and watch movies and you can just relax, add the dinosaurs on top of it. And I don't know. I kind of think maybe you need to make them make a noise at like 3 a.m. if the house is occupied, just to scare people in the middle of the night. I mean, there's got to be something, right? I mean, just maybe the noises are just inside the house. So they, you know, I don't know.
You never know.
That'd be like the T-Rex on the wall there in the entryway should, you know, make some noises at 3 a.m. or something. So just something for fun.
Mm-hmm.
Just to startle people, you know, just to,
I'll write that down.
Yes. Yeah. To don't take that idea because I'd hate to see your reviews. While we were sleeping peacefully until 3 a.m. Yeah. That would be bad. Well, thank you again. This was really entertaining. And your journey has been kind of fun. And you got a couple of design elements that I think I'm going to steal from my house, but that's neither here nor there.
Nice. Yeah, no, thank you very much. It's been fun.
Awesome.
Join us next time for another episode of the Exploring Washington State Podcast.